This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome in to the Action Line. A beautiful day outside, and we're all going to enjoy it. We thank you for joining us this morning. We're going to be talking about our youth in the community. Juvenile Court Judge Donna Scott Davenport is with us today. Donna, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart, on this beautiful day.
And you look great today.
Well, thank you.
I mean, this is radio, but people need to see Donna. She is dressed sort of in purplish
pink.
It's really good looking.
Thank
on you.
Thank you.
And you brought with you Harry Gill Jr.
I brought the sunshine, Mr. Gill himself, and he does look great, doesn't he, Bart?
He does. I like that tie, Harry.
I noticed you didn't say I look great, though.
No. You look great, Harry. Harry does look great.
There you go.
Both of you look great. Marvelous. Just
marvelous.
Okay. A guy on TV, whatever his name was.
Yeah,
you look marvelous.
Absolutely.
Today. Well, it is good to have both of you here today. Both of you care so much about the youth in our community, so you have that in common. And that's what we're going to talk about today, our young people. Donna, I know that every day is a special day at the juvenile court system.
It is wonderful on South Church Street.
And lives are being changed in positive ways.
We hope so. That's our purpose, and that's what we hope. You know, every day I love getting up and going to work and saying, today, you know, is another day to maybe touch somebody's life and make a difference. And that's our whole goal.
And, of course, that's exactly what Harry's job is all about, too. And you're seeing that every day, too.
Absolutely, yeah. Just every day we have blessings that take place in the schools. We have challenges that take place in the schools, obviously, each and every day with close to 40,000 kids now. But it's real rewarding to be affiliated with kids.
Let's look at how the juvenile court system and the public schools work together, because there is a strong bond between the two of you. First of all, Donna, sort of describe what that bond is and give us a little insight into it.
We have designated every Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock on my docket. You know, we have two courts, sometimes we have three courts going every day. And at 1 o'clock on Monday is our truancy docket, and that's where our children who are not going to school get a petition filed against them for failure to be in school, as well as the parents. If we find that the parents are not doing their job as far as communicating with the school board and why we have absences, where they can be charged with the criminal offense as a Class C misdemeanor of failure to have your child in school. And we've had to, probably for the past several years, dedicate just that 1 o'clock docket for those issues and those cases alone every Monday.
Now, is that because there's such a large number of parents?
Yes, we grow in the community, more schools, more students, more violations of not attending school. So we've given that docket every Monday to the county schools, and we have, fortunately, talking about working together, is the best attendance teachers, I think, that we have, and they're dedicated to make sure that these children get their education, and they're the ones that bring the petitions and appear in court every Monday. And, of course, they're direct employees of Mr. Gill's.
Now, do you feel that the parents know that the children are not attending school?
It's half and half. Sometimes our children go in one door and out the other, and the parents may even take them. But they, you know, the school there again, the Board of Education has a great contact system. When your child's not there, you receive a phone call. And I don't believe that they're receiving the phone calls as much. Now, the mail I understand, because sometimes the children will get the mail out of the box before the parents. But some say, I think he went, you know, and they're surprised. And there's some that enable their child not to go to school. And those are the ones that we really want to focus on, because we need our children to get their education.
As they enable them to do this, what kind of excuses do they come up with?
I can't even imagine. There's all kinds of excuses, and there's some reasons. And a lot of them, we're not talking about unexcused. I mean, we're talking about unexcused absences, not those where they have medical notes and they have doctor's notes. But there's a procedure, and Mr. Gill will be glad to go over that today to inform our public what that procedure is, so you don't get the attendance teacher coming to your house and saying, you know, you've missed too many days and you're in jeopardy of having to go to court.
Share with us, if you would, Harry, what is that procedure?
Well, obviously, a parent is allowed to submit up to 10 notes from them during the course of the year indicating their child's sick. Secondly, we accept doctor's notes, and there are other discretions that are at the hands of the principal. But beyond that, we don't accept anything. And once they accumulate 5 unexcused absences, then we submit a letter to the parent. It's a notification telling them that you've got 5 unexcused absences, we're not going to tolerate this. You know, we forewarn them that ultimately it could end up in the judge's court and they could be subject to some kind of consequence. It does, in connection with the way the judge answered the question, it just amazes me that we have a high rate of absences in K-8, because those kids are still pretty much under the control of their parents. You know, once they get in the ninth grade, you get 14, 15, they start thinking they're adults, and they start making too many of their own decisions. And, you know, they, on their own volition, a lot of times come to school, leave, they decide, I'm not going to school today. They kind of strong-arm their parents many times with respect to their excuses. You know, it just amazes me that, you know, I've always felt like the at least one of the top priorities of parents was to make sure their kids went to school and make sure they did their homework and they made sure that they succeeded in school. And all parents don't view it that same way. It's kind of sad.
How big of a problem is homelessness as far as this problem goes?
Well, and there again, I think the county school system, as well as the city, they both have great programs to assist people, but they need to know it. You know, and we're going to help those people. We have a lot of homeless, but the county has wonderful programs to assist the families in whatever they need, if it's from clothes to food to making sure that they're at school in special circumstances. I know years ago I had a case where they allowed the child to come and take a shower every morning at school and change clothes. Because it was, I believe, like a 12-year-old, that it was very difficult. And I know we have those kind of programs still, if the need is out there.
You just have to know about it.
Right. And that, again, is their job, and the attendance teachers are wonderful, and our guidance teachers through the county are on top of those special needs of those families. And it's tough times right now, and we try to really work with those. We try to work with all of them, but especially those that really have a reason why they're kind of having difficult times right now.
Of course, there may be some parents listening right now who are thinking, I need that service. I don't know how to bring about that service. What do they need to do?
You know, if folks are in a position where they can't afford clothing or they have other issues due to monetary problems, you know, the best thing that they can do is either see their principal or see their guidance counselor. And they're all aware of opportunities for that type of child. And it's not something they should be ashamed of. I mean, it's just something that happens to folks throughout life. And we've made different provisions to make sure that those kids are helped out.
And I would imagine that the rest of the students, the faculty, the other parents, nobody knows about this. I mean, it's very private. And they're not going to know that you've asked for help.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you protect the child's confidentiality. I mean, obviously, to some, it would be pretty devastating if you know their friends knew that they were getting help from various sources. So we make sure that's kept in total confidence. I would say, in connection to Judge Davenport's comment, we do have, at one time, I knew the exact number, but between 600 and 700 kids that are considered homeless in Rutherford County schools. which means they've been displaced for one reason or another, or they've been sent here to live with an aunt or an uncle, or and we do find we are required through the McKinney-Vento Act to transport those kids to schools and make other provisions to help them out financially and otherwise.
The exciting thing, and maybe you can share some of these stories, is that some of these students complete their schooling successfully. And then through different scholarships and what have you, they've been so successful in school. They move on to college and do well in life. And that, again, is what it's all about. Everybody having the opportunity to move forward and be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. There are tons of stories out there where kids overcame a lot and have been successful, and they did it through just sheer determination and also some kind of support system. And they did it because they came to school. The ones that decide not to go to school typically don't fare as well, which is what I know it disappoints the judge, because I know she's real takes a hard line position on that, and we do too. You know, we do a great deal to make sure kids are in school. We notify parents. We've now bought a parent portal. We have a messenger system that you can tailor to each school's need. So we notified parents, and there's still some that it just doesn't seem to register with.
When you come across those, Judge Davenport, you're the one that sees them, I guess. The teachers, the counselors, they've tried their best, and that didn't work. And so you're sort of the court of last recall.
We are. When it gets to the point where they have to file a petition against the child for not going to school or a criminal warrant against the parent, it's the end of the beginning. And hopefully by that time, they understand the seriousness of their actions. And their children, if they do not go to school and they are under a court order, I make it very clear to them under certain terms, it's school or detainment. And spring break's coming up in 2 weeks. Mm. And they will forfeit their spring break if they are not in school. And if that doesn't work for them, summer is around the corner.
And but she's serious.
I'm very serious. Mm-hmm. I will do what I say, and that is detainment. And we also finally, I believe, are getting through to the parents that we will work with you in the juvenile court, because we are about working in treatment and trying to modify behaviors. Get your child educated, and if you cannot communicate and work with us, then again, I'm at the end of what I can do. We are now binding our cases over to the grand jury, and they can be indicted or not indicted and stand trial as an adult criminal in circuit court.
Let's go to the phones. 893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
Just fine.
Good. Did you have a question?
Yes. Is it true that we have children in Rutherford County that they don't eat till they get to school, but the parents can't afford for these children? Is that true?
Harry, they're asking, do some of the children not eat until they get to school?
That's no, right. Actually, that's not the case. If a child is identified as a free reduced child, each school now serves breakfast, and they qualify for a free breakfast and a free lunch at school if they, again, are deemed to be free reduced, and we receive reimbursement from the federal government for that.
So if they don't have food, they're obviously not going to learn, so that's seen to it that doesn't happen here.
Yeah, and I would encourage anybody that's listening to pick up an application and submit it. It's not too late to do that right now, and it does fluctuate with one's income, the number of students in the household, etc. But if you qualify, I would certainly take advantage of that opportunity.
Very good. Judge Davenport, share with us, if you would, some of the, you know, obviously you can't do names and we're not interested in that, but some of the success stories that you've had, some of the students who've come to you, some of the parents that have appeared before you, and they just thought it was a hopeless case. This is just going to be the beginning of something really bad.
We have that every day. I had a young lady yesterday. She's turned 18 now, and she came in and brought her GED. Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. And we broke out into applause, and it's the most wonderful feeling, you know, to know that that child now is going to have a door opened because she fought hard enough to get her GED. She didn't have enough credits, could not graduate with a diploma. And we do help them try to do that because we have a lot of students where a high school diploma is just not quite going to be attainable for them, and there's nothing wrong with it. You can go to college on a GED. So we really encourage, and we have a school where we order a GED program, and it has to be court ordered because you can't get that through the school system. And so we have a lot of children that are successful with that, even right before that 18th birthday or right at it. And then they can go out and become employed and then go to whatever avenue they want, a trade school or college, whatever they want to do. They have the opportunity, and that's what it's all about. We have those every day. And I have some that will just come and drop into court. And I'll go, oh my, why are they here? Because I hadn't seen them in a while. Where they're and they'll be waving something, you know. And you're not supposed to really wave at the judge. And I'll say, can I help you? And it's like they just want to drop by and show me their diploma or their GED. It's every day. It's wonderful.
What a compliment that
it's
is.
It's wonderful every day. We've got the bad, but we always have the good.
You know what that is really saying? It's saying I needed guidance. I wasn't getting it. And I needed somebody to slap me on the hand, to put me in the right direction. And you did that.
Well, they probably won't say I slapped them, but I come down on them hard and let them know that they've got to get their education. And it's against the law if they don't go to school, and I have to enforce the law. You know, that's my oath, and that's our purpose. Be hard or not, that's my avenue that I take with them. And we have so many more success stories than we have dropouts. It's wonderful. Now, we have a few that we try and they don't make it, but we have more that do make it. They reach down inside of their little self somehow and they pull it out, and I'm so proud of them for doing it.
And what a role model they can become to others around them.
Absolutely. And sometimes I may know that they're there for that accomplishment, and I may wait and let them be the first one up so that they can turn around, and I'll say, tell him to do what I'm telling him to do because you did it. And so, you know, I use those examples if I can.
Do the parents learn also from the successes of their children?
I believe a majority of them are very thankful because they're at their wits' end, too, especially when you've got a 15, 16, 17-year-old. It's very difficult to push them through to the end, to get them the diploma or their GED. So I think that they're thankful also.
Harry, you mentioned just a few minutes ago that some of the parents are challenged by these children who are sometimes bigger than they are. And maybe the word challenged is not the right word. Maybe it's threatened by their size, by whatever else might be. And parents don't know what to do. And I guess they look to you, and when that doesn't work, you look to Judge Davenport.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and to piggyback what the judge said, there's the society we live in is so much different than what it was when I went to school. Most people were at home with two-parent families. Now there's so many divorcees, and they're raising their the mother's raising their child. A kid leaves school at 3:15, 3:30. They have to go home the rest of the day and keep their brothers and sisters, or maybe they have to go to work and then take over keeping their brothers and sisters and ensure that they get their homework. And it's just a real challenge to get those kinds of kids through school because it's an enormous amount of stress and responsibility to ask a 16, 17, 18-year-old to do. But, yeah, there is certainly is an element of the public out there, in particular those high schools, where the kids are going to do what they want to do, and the parents have very little leverage over them, or the single parent in particular, and when there's not a man in the home, and they simply can't make the child do what the child should be doing unless there's an intervention from law enforcement or somehow the schools get involved. It's just the role of a parent is really demanding now. And there's, with all the Facebook and Twitters and other electronic mechanisms out there, there's so many external influences that kids didn't used to have. I remember when I'd go home at 3 o'clock, we'd play ball, eat dinner, do our homework, and didn't hear anything from anywhere else. We're pretty well quarantined from the world, but it's just a different, it's a different challenge now.
We're talking about our youth today. Judge Donna Scott Davenport, the Rutherford County Juvenile Services, along with Harry Gill Jr., the director of the Rutherford County School Systems, they're with us today. Again, a focus on our youth, the future of our community. We'll be back and continue the conversation. If you have any questions dealing with young people, maybe you know a family that needs help. Maybe you know a family who has been helped. And you have a wonderful, heartwarming story you'd like to share. Call us, 893-1450, 893-1450. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be right back.
Talk unites the heart of Tennessee. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Well, the results are in. The Ford Explorer and the Ford Fusion are the most dependable cars on the market. That according to J.D. Power and Associates. Right now, you can buy the Ford Explorer and the Ford Fusion at Ford of Murfreesboro. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro today and drive one. They're at 1550 Northwest Broad Street. That's the intersection of Broad and Northfield. FordofMurfreesboro.com. Try the Ford Fusion and the Ford Explorer today.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. Looking for a new look? Update your gemstones by letting us remount your jewels into a new style. White gold, yellow gold, vintage, modern. Let Bell Jewelers help you design a special piece with your old gemstones, or let our award-winning jeweler, Bob Lanier, custom make a fabulous piece just for you.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots. Family Staffing Solutions.
They have made me feel like I am truly someone to them, and that means a lot.
Stay independent at home. In charge.
I've never seen anything in my life that has been more outstanding than this company.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Play it again, sports!
25 to 50% off. A new shipment of scratch and dent fitness equipment is in at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane. Exercise bikes, ellipticals, treadmills, and more. 25 to 50% off. Save now before the deals are gone.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. We still have several incidents on the east side. Could cause problems for our commuters this morning. Anderson Road at Country Hill Road. That's an injury accident in the clearing stages. Also on the east side, Central Pike at Old Hickory Boulevard. And then also we have a fender bender, Jackson Downs Boulevard at Lebanon Pike. As you're making your way into downtown Nashville, I-24 westbound at Old Hickory Boulevard. Lots of congestion there. Get a $49 introductory massage at Massage Emmy today. Gift cards available for any occasion. Massage Emmy, Cool Springs, Bellevue, Brentwood, and Green Hills. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll have plenty of sunshine across the forecast area for today. Our highs will be in the mid-60s. We'll have a south wind between 10 and 15 miles per hour, feeling a bit breezy. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 45.
This is Freedom Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hey neighbor, when you talk, others listen. If it's on Good Neighbor Talk, keep it here. AM 1450, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
So much for those 12 steps.
Welcome back. We're talking about our youth and their future. We hope it's a bright one for all of them. Sadly, it won't be for all, but they all have the opportunity It is up to them. Our phone number is 893-1450. 893-1450. And I guess a lot of times parents think it's up to them, and it is up to the parents quite a bit, but ultimately the parents can do all that they can if the kids won't step forward and take advantage. You see that happen, Judge Davenport.
Yeah, every day. And the parents that work with us, I applaud them because it's so difficult. As Mr. Gill was saying, it's difficult to parent these days. But, you know, they're still the parent. And by law, they're still responsible for the actions of their children and certain things that they have to do as a parent. So we're there, hopefully, as a safety net to guide them and give the parents some tools to help them work through whatever difficulties they're going through.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Just fine.
Good.
The reason why these children are acting like they do, acting up, is because they took all the rights from the parents. I mean, if I got out of line when I was a kid, my parents made sure I got back in as quick. I mean, it was a bell or a paddle or something on my behind. And it took me 2 or 3 days to get over that, but I remember. And you can't do that no more. And now the kids got Nintendo, phones, and all kind of stuff. You can't really this because they're going to make and tell the school what happens if you paddle them on the behind and it's child abuse. So, really, the parents ain't got nothing really.
Let's get some comments on that. Thank you for your call too, by the way. Harry Gill.
Yeah, well, I think you can view that from two perspectives, and the judge can answer the one with respect to the liabilities for disciplining your child as a parent, but with respect to the school, it is risky business to paddle a kid anymore. You know, we've had lawsuits filed against us despite the legality of corporal punishment and having a witness and all that. What reaches the courts is that he drew that paddle back, hit with a tremendous force 4 or 5 times, and bruised my child, blah blah blah. So there's a real reluctance to paddle, and I too agree that we've taken a lot of the ability for a parent to discipline their child out of their hand, and it saddens me deeply. And that same thing holds true at the school. I hear stories on a pretty consistent basis about where a kid curses the teacher or kind of puts threatening language directs it towards the teachers. We don't ever tolerate them bumping a teacher. Don't tolerate that, but it's it probably could be traced back to the fact that, to a large degree, the parents can't discipline the children like they used to.
Judge Davenport, what do you see in your courts like
well,
that?
Well, I do hear that a lot, and we do have our protection of our children, you know, but there's not always, corporal punishment is not always the answer. I mean, like the gentleman just said, they've got electronics, they've got cars, they have different things that maybe you could try taking away from them. And I know it's difficult, you know, but that parenting is difficult, you know, in making those decisions. And I said no, and no means no on whatever the restriction would be. And it is difficult, especially when you've got a 14, 15-year-old that stands taller than the parent. It's very difficult.
And like you say, when you send them to their rooms, sometimes that's not punishment. In fact, a friend of mine was saying the other day, he said his parent, and he's 40 years old, so evidently this has been around for a while. He said his parents wouldn't send him to the room for punishment when he did something wrong, because he could hunker down there and have a ball. I mean, with the TV and all that. He said what they did, they'd send him outside and ask him to pull weeds, and he remembers that to this day. So, you know, sometimes when you think you're punishing them, you're really not. But as Judge Davenport said, find something that they really like and take that away from them. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good.
I have a question. I would like to ask about the new law that was recently passed. I think it was back in 2009 in the state of Tennessee about the anti-bullying I don't really understand the full extent of that, and I would like to know maybe what, if a child is caught, what is the process, or if a child is involved in bullying or is a victim of bullying, what is the process that the parents can take or the avenues that they can take in order trying to resolve this? And I'll hang up and listen now. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like for Mr. Gill to answer as far as what the school is doing, because I'm sure that they have safeguards for that. If they are charged with that offense, then, you know, of course, each case is handled differently depending on their circumstances. And if it's a crime, it's a crime. We call those delinquent acts against children, and we would have to deal with those if the petition is brought. And, of course, you can always, as a parent of a victim, bring a petition. You go to the sheriff's office, to the commissioners, and see if and tell them the information to see if it warrants a juvenile petition to be filed to bring charges. That would be your procedure that you would follow if you have grounds on some type of delinquent act.
Yeah, and we obviously have bullying programs in place in schools, character ed programs, counselors in the particular in the elementary school, visit with classes. We approach it from a lot of different angles. Actually, tomorrow, today, we'll send out a communication to the middle school principals to try to pilot a new bullying program that we'll use through our messenger system. But bullying is different than it used to be, too, because a lot of the bullying is done on Twitter, MySpace, Facebook. You know, they'll put things out there. They'll say, such and such did this. Did you hear about this? She's nothing but of this, or he's nothing but of that. And that percolates back into the schools. And when it does, it creates real hardships for the schools. It's not bullying stretches far beyond the perimeter walls of a school.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Judge Donna Scott Davenport and Harry Gill, Jr. How are you today? Hello?
Is it my time?
It is your time, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to say that I really appreciate what the schools attempt to do. They work very hard. And I've had children on and off in the Rutgers County schools now for over 30 years. And my last one is a sophomore. And I have raised my children to respect the teachers and respect authority. And I really feel bad for the bullying, because the children are bullying the teachers too. I mean, how can you stop them bullying children or their peers when they're bullying the teachers? I cannot believe that a parent would allow their children to talk to the teachers the way they do. My heart just really hurts to know that people who are working so hard to be teachers and take care of our children, that parents allow their children to be so disrespectful. And I'm a hands-on parent, and that's just the problem we have. We have no hands-on parents. When I go to consultation with any of the teachers on those days that are set aside for that, there's no one there. It's like a joke, because none of the parents go. And I guess I border on embarrassing my child by going sometimes. But that's a choice that I make, and that's a chance that I take, that it might upset her, but it so far it hasn't. But I'm just saying that the parents need to reach out and help the teachers. They need to work in concert. They need to stop this, oh, I'm going to sue the school, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm just so sorry for all of that, and I'm glad that my child only has two more years, because I just don't understand why parents can't take back the responsibility of raising their children. And I just apologize. I just take this opportunity to apologize to people like Mr. Gill and like Judge Davenport, that they have to go through all this because parents are just not taking the responsibility. And I thank you very much for what you try to do. And if I could say anything and reach any parent, just, you know, take responsibility, love your child, you don't have to beat them, and then your child might do something very responsible like my daughter did. She does not Twitter, and she does not Facebook. She she said, why take the opportunity and put myself out there for someone to say something about me, and then it caused all these problems. So I'm glad she took that responsibility. I didn't say you can't Twitter, and I didn't say you can't Facebook, but she decided herself not to do it. And so I'll just continue to put you in my prayers, and thanks, Bart, for giving them the opportunity to be there to speak out.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, first of all, I think you're doing, I commend you as a parent for taking an active role in monitoring what your child does outside the school day. I mandated every principal to have a PTO. However, attendance was not very good. If you connect it somehow to a performance, then parents will show up. But it's just not the interest there should be. But with regards to the comment about teachers being bullied and disrespected, there is a lot of that takes place. And I think we're all familiar with No Child Left Behind and the laws that came with that. It really hamstrung principals and teachers. The government says you got to graduate 94.9% of your kids in 4 years in a summer. So once they come in to school, you got 4 years and one summer to have them graduated. Well, if a kid misbehaves, they're unruly, we got an option to send them to an alternative school at some point. We have two alternative schools, and they stay packed. They don't stay as long as they should because we have to cut them loose to create space for another one. But what has happened to principals now is they realize that if I kick this kid out of school, if I give this kid an extended suspension, they're going to count against graduation total, which counts against one. The district counts against the school, and their financial consequences. You get labeled as high priority, a focus school, or something else. It's just not like it once was, where if a kid simply refused to behave, you could say, you know, hit the highway, hit the door. We're not putting up with that anymore. Now we have to make exceptions, and that saddens me deeply. I mean, I wish we could have 100% graduation rate, but the reality is there's not 100% of the kids going to graduate, and there's going to be some in that bunch that are going to contaminate the water for the rest of them, and that's really difficult.
Very definitely. And to the lady who called, keep on attending, because you are, first of all, being a good role model for your child, and when your child grows up and has children, you'll be surprised how much they continue to do what you show them. But I thought of a phrase that I heard a long time ago that parents need to keep in their minds. It's what you do with your child right now that doesn't seem to matter, that determines where they will be later on when it's really too late to do something about it. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My basic comment is I think you start out early on. I don't know if anybody, I just started listening to this program. Early on, parents teach the child from baby on. Once you set a discipline pattern when they're early on in life, that will help the discipline problems when they get older, what you're talking about, 13, 14, 15. Now, I know when I was growing up, and you hear this before, heard it 100 times, my mother used to get a little switch come after me, and my dad used the belt. But I always liked the belt because the switch hurt my legs, but it never did hurt me. I learned. And since we've taken punishment paddling out of schools, I believe that's also a deterrent that discipline children when they know they're going to have a principal. And I know we got laws now, and I don't know what all the laws they come up. We're too easy on children, on discipline at home. And I know the school system. I drove a school bus for several years. I had 98 kids on a school bus. And when I had problems, I had to write them up. We had cameras. Had to go in there and principal stuff. As a bus driver, I think the state of Tennessee ought to make a law. It's like a captain of a ship. I was in the Navy. The captain is a law. The bus driver should have the law say, hey, tell the parent, this child act this way, he's going to be off the bus one day. If he acts up again, he'll be off 2 days. He gets that power. We take the power away from authority and laws, even as parents, because now you can't even whip kids. You can't even touch them. And it just, to me, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. I mean, it's a common sense. We've got to discipline our children. And I appreciate the school systems. I know they have difficulty times, and I know they have a lot of folks that don't understand that. So that's my comment. I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
The gentleman's correct. He's exactly right. But you know what? Do you all hear me?
We hear you.
This is Casey Clark, so in case you're wondering.
Is that C-L-A-R-K?
Yes, sir. Okay. Without the E. In case you're wondering, the Bible have told you, in case you all have heard about the book called the Bible, mm-hmm. which they set back and let them take out of schools. It told you this day were coming. If you know anything about that book, read it sometime. This day is coming. Children will be against their parents. Have any of y'all ever heard about that before? See, this is what that happened, like the gentleman just saying. And another thing, Bart, I told you about my show in Nashville, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
They did a survey, and I just went to a meeting Saturday. Funny you all having this on today. I just went to a meeting Saturday. They did a survey of the sections of Nashville, right? You know what? If I go up to the courtroom right now, any day they're having court, you would think in America, not just in Mother's Boy, it's in America, you would think don't nobody do anything wrong in this country but poor people. First of all, your whole system is a mess and won't nobody do anything to stop it. I heard the gentleman say, we need to work with these kids right now. We got a system that needed working with. You said, that man said over school bus, he was the chief. Well, we voted a president in, he's not the chief. You can't expect these kids to do anything different that we won't do. And until adults say we're not going to take this stuff anymore from our system, our local government, it is over with. But we've been talking about this for 20 years. Have it gotten any better?
It seems to be pretty much the same.
It's going to be all right. I got news for you. These kids have got guns, you all. They're right. Not just bullying these people. Check the lockers in the schools today and see how many guns in your school and drugs. Hello, America. You're in for a long ride. This is Casey Clark, and I approve this message. Have a good day.
Have a good one.
All right.
Hey, get out and vote today, too. Don't forget that. There's a, you know, that's another good example of good Americanism to show your children the importance of voting. The polls are open till 7 o'clock tonight. We'll be right back. If you have any thoughts, the number is 893-1450. 893-1450. I know you have the thought that we need to make some positive changes.
The opinions you heard are not necessarily those of our advertisers, staff, or WGNS Murfreesboro.
Freedom of speech pulsates with good neighbor talk.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
WeatherEye.
Hello, plenty of sunshine across the forecast area for today. Our highs will be in the mid-60s. We'll have a south wind between 10 and 15 miles per hour, feeling a bit breezy. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 45.
Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jamison mattresses. Listen, Perry Bell has the Jamison Marriott mattress. the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen-size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. And it's 44 degrees outside. If you want to get an early jump on controlling your garden, your insect problems, and things like that, use Bonide's all-season spray oil. Use it right now. This will stop your garden insects before they hatch. Early spraying smothers most insect eggs left behind last year's plant-destroying insects. Bonide's all-season spray oil will destroy those insect eggs in early spring, and if used throughout the season, it'll control all the stages of insects. Bonide's all-season spray oil is recommended for use on shade trees, fruit trees, shrubs, roses, and ornamental plants. Bonide's all-season spray oil. It's easy to use and is an all-natural product. That's right. All natural. Where can you get it? Easy. At the Rutherford County Farmers Co-op on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church. They have it at the co-op. They also have it at Martin's Home and Garden on Broad, and that is right across from Demas Restaurant. When you go in there, ask for Bonide's All Season Oil, the All Season Spray Oil, and you need to start using that right now. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. If you have a question or a comment about our youth, give us a call, 893-1450. And for the person who has called in right now, you are stuck in the phone system. Sometimes high technology gets the best of you. The only solution I can give you is to hang up and call us back. Because you are stuck in Neverland. We will never be able to pull you out of there. Hey, I just thought I would mention that because I saw somebody stuck in the system and I knew where they were. And you'll have to call us back. 893-1450 is our phone number. Visiting with us this morning from the Rutherford County Juvenile Court System, Judge Donna Scott Davenport, and the head of the Murfreesboro Rutherford County School System, Harry Gill Jr. We only have about a minute and a half or 2 minutes left in the program today. So is there a solution? Is there a way to work? I mean, we're talking about bullying. We're talking about not being able to punish in some of the ways people would like to punish. Is there a solution?
I think every day there's going to be a solution. You got to get up. You got to go forward every day and say, today's going to be better. We're going to have another success story. And if we have one that disappoints us, we're going to have two that's going to we're going to be able to get through to. And that's the attitude that we try to have in juvenile court every day, because that's our job, and we're not going to give up on them. Now, I'm there every day, and I tell them I'm here every day, and I'm going to be there for them, and I'm going to support them, or I'm going to have a consequence for them.
These are people. We can't give up on them.
Absolutely not.
Harry, what about you?
Speaking with teachers and principals, it's parental intervention, parents getting more involved in their child's education. As two or three of the callers alluded, making sure that you know what your kids are doing, making sure that they behave, making sure that they value school.
We're going to let this person have the last word. What is your last word of wisdom for us today? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Let me turn this down just a little bit here.
Okay.
Well, all I can do is reiterate everything that has already been said about the kids not being able to be disciplined at home. And we've already come through, what would say 2 decades of the children not being disciplined at home. So therefore, these younger children are reproductions of what's been going on since the laws were put into effect. Taking the Bible out of school came first. The next thing, the parents could not correct them without being afraid they were going to be sent to jail. It's a good thing I had mine raised by that time. Then the schools, the law that they could not discipline the children was taken away. That is why it is costing the taxpayers a fortune to try to educate at least one child.
And you did have the last word. We thank you for joining us. It goes to the parents. It's up to you.